Welcome back to BCM Unscripted. Today, we're going to take a look at the semester so far, kind of what's been going on here at the University of Georgia, the ups, the downs, the serious, the funny, according to Carson, though she told us she wanted to talk about something lighthearted, but then I said, what are you going to talk about? And she didn't have anything to talk about. So I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Tommy.
You're welcome, Carson. I figured we'd throw you under the bus from the get-go, right? So, Tyler, Carson, I don't care what order we go in. Let's jump right into this thing. What have been some highlights of this semester so far? What's been going on in Athens, Georgia, at the University of Georgia?
I would say a lot of gospel conversations have been going on.
Praise God.
I think that one of my favorite things that we get to do, being on staff, is get to take new students to lunch or coffee and get to share the gospel with them, get to clarify their own salvation. And every now and then, you get to interact with a student who just came across our campus engagement activities or happened to wander into a gathering, and they're not a believer and wouldn't even claim to be. And you get to, you know, speak gospel truth into their life, give an opportunity to repent and be saved. And so I think those intentional conversations are amongst the most valuable things that we do as a campus ministry. And that's just proven to be the case once again this year. I've personally enjoyed all of those interactions. And I did, in fact, have a meeting with a student who wasn't a believer and just said he was curious about learning more about Christianity and comparing and contrasting. And I said, well, the reality of it is that the difference between Christianity and every other religion is Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And that paints a pretty stark contrast between Christianity and everything else. So I was able to lay that out, and he did not accept the Lord that day, but he heard the gospel, and I praise the Lord for that. So I just wanted to leave with that, because that's where my heart's been as I reflect on the last month. That's where I've received the most gratitude, is those intentional one-on-one meetings. Carson, how about those meetings for you?
Yeah, I completely agree. I've had the same meetings. People who don't know the Lord as their Savior, and getting to talk about what that means, what that looks like. And then on the other side of the spectrum, I've had meetings with students who are believers who want to get involved, they want to serve. And so we talk about what those steps look like and how they can do that within the BCM, but also within their local church, whether that's serving with kids ministry or whether that's doing 2x2 with us on a Friday for evangelism or whatever. So those have been really, really encouraging. And every time I meet a student who I can just see that the Lord is doing a work in their lives, I always make sure to tell them that too, and how it's so encouraging, and also like pray over them in that moment. It's always just such a sweet time of encouragement, I think, for both of us. So that's been awesome. I mean, we were looking at the welcome to BCM form today, and what we've contacted over like 100 and almost 150 new students, and almost all of them being freshmen, and these are people who've never been to BCM before. So we've been able to reach out to them. Most of them we've taken out to coffee or lunch, so that's just been such a good blessing.
As of this past Monday night, we had 149 students who have filled out that it's their first time with us, and expressed some interest or desire to grab coffee or lunch and so forth. And so we've been busy, like we've been crazy busy as a result of that. It's been good. That's a pretty high number. That's a bigger number than some of the previous years. I would say that that's not every brand new person that walks into BCM, right? Like I've met people who have been here and made comments to me like, hey, you haven't taken me to lunch yet. And I'm like, hey, have you filled out the card and, or the QR code? And they're like, oh no, I haven't done that. It's like, well, then no wonder. I'm not chasing you down if I don't know who you are and that you actually want to be chased down. So, so that's been really big. Yeah, in regards to sharing our faith, I think two quick stories that are kind of cool. We've had, I believe, as of Monday night, four salvations within the BCM this semester. One of those actually was a young man that we met at a Welcome Week event, and I noticed one of the first Welcome Week events he was at, we had a couple of our students that were sitting on the stairs talking to him afterwards, and they just kept talking to him. He kept coming back, and then he got saved, and I believe last week, if I'm not mistaken, got baptized at Mars Hill.
I think so.
And so, so that was cool. Also had a young man that I took to lunch that had came to some Welcome Week events, then came to our first BCM gathering. I took him to lunch, shared the gospel with him. It was clear he wasn't a believer, but he had a little bit of a church background and just wasn't ready at that point in time. And Monday night, I'm talking about politics, of all things, like where our Christian faith intersects with politics and our role and what that looks like. Not typically the kind of night you would think that someone would get saved. And this young man walks up to me before the service and catches me at the front door and says, "Hey, I'm ready." And I'm like, you're ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Come here. I'm ready to get saved. And so got to pray with him before gathering. That makes gathering a little better, right? So got to pray with him before gathering. So that was awesome. On the flip side, I think tabling every Wednesday has been a massive win for us. Just going ahead and scheduling that into our week. And you know, we've tabled a lot in the past, but because it costs money, and because, you're always trying to work around student schedules and make sure people are there. We haven't done it every single week. It's been like every other week, or once a month, like we kind of have done them, you know, 6 to 8 times throughout the semester. And I think it's been huge for us to say every Wednesday, we're going to be on campus. And we've done it different. Like we've done whiteboard evangelism, right? We've done giving out free hibbos. And yesterday was supposed to be like a get as much information about the BCM out as possible and just give out hibbos and invite people to stuff. And lo and behold, I got to share with a guy whose parents are Buddhist, and he says that he's atheist. And I got to have about a 10-minute conversation with him about the gospel. He didn't get saved, right? But he was very willing and open to listen, thanked us for the conversation, and walked away hearing the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then literally like 5 minutes later, I look up, and Carrie is talking to a young lady, and she's in this deep conversation, and she's having a gospel conversation with this young lady. And yesterday, we're just supposed to be giving out hibbos and giving out cards. And I saw within 5 minutes of each other two very in-depth gospel conversations. And so I think that's been good. It's sort of creating a culture of sharing the gospel rather than just having to program, you know, hey, we're gonna take these surveys and go out at this time and do this and that. And just being on campus, you know, it's one of those things. Like when you're on campus every week on Wednesday in the middle of the day and you've got that many people you're talking to, eventually, you're going to come across somebody pretty much every week that you're able to share the gospel with. And so I think that's been a highlight for me of this semester, just the intentionality. And the fact that our students, like they come from all over the place. Like literally the amount of students, every single Wednesday a student walks up and says, "Hey, I'm between classes, didn't have anything to do, just want to come by and hang out with you guys, you know, just talk to you, whatever." And then they end up talking to other students. Yeah. And so that's been really, really big for us.
For sure, especially without the building, trying to find spaces to, you know, do things that build community.
Right.
You know, there's freshmen that come out to tabling. And I remember when I was a freshman, I came to like 2 tabling events or something because I didn't know anybody there and all that kind of stuff. So one, I commend a lot of these freshman students for being, you know, more outgoing than I was. But which is kind of surprising looking back on it. But it's important for us to create things like that, especially since we don't have the building.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm glad to see it pay off.
I went into Tate to, I was on the phone or was at the bathroom, I don't remember, but I came back to the table and I'm walking up and I see there's like 20 of us around, I'm not even joking, like 15 to 20 of us around this table, whether that's including like the non-BCM students that were also mm-hmm. in conversations, things like that. But I was like, if I didn't know what was going on over there, if I didn't know that was the BCM, I would be wondering, like, what kind of party is happening right here in the middle of Tate, you know?
Because
we got to where we were taking up, like, quite a bit of space. We're in the middle of the walkway. Like, you couldn't walk by and not wonder what's going on right there. And a lot of people stopped, I think, because of that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that's something that, you know, you hear about just the intentionality of being on campus. And we've tried different ways to do that. But I think something we've learned this year is that from an effectiveness standpoint and a connecting with more students on campus standpoint, because typically what happens is campus ministers are like, well, if you go out there every day, you only see the same students all the time. And we're learning that's not true,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's not true. We do see some of the same students every time, which is actually a good thing, right? But then we're also seeing new students almost every single week. And that, I think the intentionality of scheduling that into our weekly schedule is something that, like, even when we get a building back, we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to do that. Have y'all seen the building lately, by the way? Have you seen the, speaking of building, have you driven by there lately?
I haven't, actually.
I've driven by there, and I see the Georgia Baptist Mission Board logo, and it makes me smile every time.
Yeah, we need a BCM logo, though.
We do, yeah.
So I don't know if maybe I need to send this to some of our folks that are behind the scenes on that. But it says Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Now we need that UGA BCM one too, but I'll work on that. I'll see if we can get a sign out there for that. So, but what are your thoughts? I mean, what have you thought when you drive by that thing?
Yeah, I mean, I get really excited because UGA is building a lot of things. They're building a freshman dorm like right next to the new building, which is exciting for ministry reasons.
Yeah.
But it's also just exciting to know that, like the GBMB and you know us by association with that is. Continuing to invest in collegiate ministry and it paints a bright picture for the future.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So I was talking to the dean of students the other day, and I made the joke to him, and I've repeated it probably four or five times since then, that we're trying to build the largest swimming pool, right, known to man. Because right now it's a big hole in the ground with a bunch of concrete, right? And so, because they're doing the footers and all that stuff. And so.
I think we should add that to the plan.
Just a big swimming pool?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
We don't baptize people because we leave that up to the local church.
That's right. We could host churches on campus to baptize in the swimming pool. Oh. We could see if we could do that as part of the rooftop terrace, right?
Yes.
Just throw a swimming pool up there.
Rooftop Baptist.
Have baptism services.
I like this idea.
There we go. I should have had this. They asked me about the color palettes this week. I need to go back and add another email and say, hey, forget the color palettes. You can make this thing purple for all we care. Whoa. We need a pool on the rooftop terrace. Perfect. So that we can invite churches to baptize on campus.
I legitimately think that's a great idea.
Outdoor baptistry right there. Outdoor baptistry. Hey, this last week we were at Confluence, this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What were your takeaways? What'd you think?
I love Confluence.
What is Confluence, first of all?
Confluence is the merging of three rivers. I don't know what the word
Lots
means.
Lots of rivers.
Anyways.
Multiple
and
rivers.
And apparently it's pronounced Confluence.
It is. It is.
I think it's actually pronounced Confluence, but no one calls it that. Confluence is an amazing weekend where all of the BCMs in the state of Georgia come together.
As well as local church,
yes,
college
as well
churches.
As local church ministry. Yeah. So really it's for any college student in Georgia to come. And we have a speaker. We have amazing worship. We meet in McDonough, Georgia. Not McDonough, apparently.
Uh-huh.
We've learned over the years.
They're cutting grass out here. Sorry about that, guys. That's why it's unscripted.
You never know what sounds you're going to hear in the podcast. But anyways, it's a great time. Students have the opportunity to go to different breakout sessions. They can learn about seminary, ministry, how to share the gospel, how to lead a Bible study. We had different sessions for girls and guys, for relationships, purity, dating, all of that jazz too. And there's also Confluence games. It's a lot of fun team competition.
Georgia Tech lost.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, amazing.
We won't talk about that we lost in the same round as them.
Nope, all that matters is they lost. That's all that matters. And that we had fun,
yes.
Right? That's what matters too. But yeah, it's a fun time. I think our students, is this the most we've ever brought to Confluence?
Yeah, there was, 90 of us total?
We had about right at 90 students, which was amazing. It was a great time, I think, of fellowship. I mean, you get to sleep on a church floor. You get to about 6 hours of sleep total for the weekend. So it really can't get much better than that,
right.
I think.
We had over 1,100 students, almost 1,200 students this year across the state of Georgia.
Yep. That room was full.
Yeah, Beverly told me that she went back and looked, and at least in the last 20 years, where I guess we have data on, this is the largest Confluence that they've ever had.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Usually that bottom like back section is pretty open.
Yes.
And there was only one little section that was open.
And there were people the first night there were people that actually set upstairs.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was a school that set upstairs.
So Tyler, what were your takeaways? I know Carson talked about what it is, what it was. Like, just any major takeaways from the weekend?
Yeah, I really enjoyed. There's a special emphasis that gets placed on some spiritual discipline every year. And this year, it was on the discipline of being in the Word, regular reading of the Scriptures and what that looks like. And so we were encouraged just as a, you know, as a student body to understand the broad story of the Bible and to read every passage of Scripture, understanding that, that it points to Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoyed hearing four sermons throughout the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament sermons that related to the God's story of redemption through His Son. So I think that it was encouraging to me, and I know from what I've heard from our own students that many of them are looking at the Bible in a fresh way, and they're encouraged to, you know, commit to, you know, having a quiet time, having a dedicated space dedicated to reading the Word.
So yeah, Travis Agnew did a great job from South Carolina. Did a great job preaching, and one of the opportunities that students had was to commit to do a 100-day reading plan, kind of to follow along with what he had shared about the meta narrative of Scripture. And we had almost half of our students that committed to that. And what I realized is that it wasn't going to be 100% because a lot of our students are already like doing some sort of reading plan, right? So we weren't asking them to cancel what they were doing to come do this 100-day thing. So that was a huge positive. I'll tell you just the other thing from a numbers standpoint. We had 14 students indicate that they've been called into ministry. We had 42 students from UGA commit to some sort of mission trip, mission project this year alone. And so that's showing in our spring break numbers already, with kids who are signing up for spring break mission trips, as well as the interest that we're seeing already from Send Me Now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it's a good confluence, it really sort of provides some momentum moving forward as far as your ministry is concerned. You know, First Baptist Eagles Landing does a tremendous job hosting it. And so we're so thankful for that. And we're thankful, to one of our students, churches. Oh goodness. I just lost my mind. This is why it's unscripted. Where did we stay?
Oh, Melanie's, church, her parents' church, Cornerstone Bible Church.
Yes, Cornerstone Bible Church, for allowing us to sleep on their floors.
Yeah, it was great.
So that was great. And, so just overall, man, it was a great weekend. Tremendous weekend, and looking forward to seeing how that moves us forward as a ministry.
It was really cool, like, because I'm taking Old Testament, mm-hmm. like Old Testament 1. And so a lot of the things that Travis was going over, especially in the first couple sessions when he was going over the Old Testament, were things that I had just learned. But a lot of New Orleans professors were there that weekend too, and I heard all of them. Anyway, there was just, I was hearing the same things over and over again, and it was cool. But then I heard some students who were having conversations about the Old Testament and certain points in it, and they said they were hearing connections about how everything points to Jesus and that they had never heard before. Wow. And I was being reminded of the same thing through like my lectures and the messages, but these students were hearing this for the first time, and like it was just really cool to make that connection too. But there was also a really amazing song, Christ on Every Page. So the worship leader, Justin, how do you say his last name? Tweedo?
I think that's right, yes.
But we are singing it at BCM next week.
Are we really?
Yeah. So y'all should pull up to BCM Memorial Hall, 8 p.m. Monday night, to hear this amazing new song that we're singing that we learned from Confluence. Yeah.
That's good stuff right there. Yeah. All right. I see you. That, nothing wrong with that. I think one of the things that's neat about this event is that it does bring campus ministries and like local churches together. I was talking, so Adam Tarver was a speaker, and of course Adam is at Prince Avenue, and Adam asked me, he goes, are there really like a good bit of churches here? And I said, yeah, there really are. And I started telling him some of the churches, Second Baptist Warner Robins and churches down in Valdosta, and then some of the other churches in smaller areas and so forth that come and participate. And he was really encouraged by that, just to see that collaboration. And a lot of our breakout leaders were church people. Mm-hmm. So Adam led a breakout. Joe and Megan Frazier led a breakout. Mm-hmm. Their breakout was on dating. They did one together and like dating and purity and all that stuff. And then Joe led one for guys and Megan led one for girls. I had a really fun time talking with them on Saturday night about how their breakouts went and how college students have a lot of interesting thoughts and how they got to correct some of those. So So just across the board, it's really neat to see some of our local church folks being able to participate that as well. So
yeah,
one of the things that we saw last year with Confluence, and I think it's a direct correlation, it was between having a lot of students show up to Confluence, you know, participating, engaging with the breakout sessions, you know, engaging with us as we have our own discussions following the sermons and following the breakout sessions. But I think there's a direct correlation between that and participation in our leadership structure,
mm-hmm.
participation in what we do on campus and whatnot. Because for a lot of students, they get to see kind of the bigger picture on a lot of these things. And when they see, oh, there's 1,000 other students in the state of Georgia that are kind of unified under the purposes of you know, Georgia BCM and reaching their campuses for Christ and discipleship, leadership development, evangelism, all that kind of stuff. I think the students see that they're part of a bigger team, if you will, and they want to continue being part of that team by joining our leadership development structure. So I'm really fascinated to see what applications look like here in a few weeks when we release leadership applications. We'll have some tough decisions to make, I'm sure, along with our student exec team. But I'm looking forward to the fruit that'll come from that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that too.
So all right, so what? What else sticks out to you? Carson, you got any funny stories you've thought of? This is going to be a bust if you don't. She's like, let's tell something funny. And you've had, I don't know, 20 minutes now.
Yeah, Carson, I've been focused.
You've been focused.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story. This story, in fact.
Leave it to Tyler. It may be old man funny, but it's going to be funny.
I'm just kidding. So we had to feed our students breakfast when we're down there, right, at Cornerstone Bible Church. Mm. And on Saturday, it's easy because you just go to Chick-fil-A. You can order ahead of time on the Chick-fil-A app, and they have 100 chicken biscuits ready for you when you walk in. Mm-hmm. Just smooth as butter. But Sunday, obviously, Chick-fil-A is closed. So, you know, you have to look for other options. And the next closest option was McDonald's. And
okay. So I'm with you. Keep going.
So on Saturday, on Saturday, I gave McDonald's a call, and I said, hey, I'm with a group doing an event in town. Can we order 75 sausage biscuits for breakfast on Sunday morning? And the lady said, well, sure, but you got to come by and pay for them first. And I was like, you mean I have to like physically be there? Because, you know, we're at the church till like 10 p.m. On Saturday. She's like, yeah, you got to come by and physically, you know, pay for them with the card. And I was like, well, as long as we can, you know, roll up about 11:15 tonight, that'll be okay. She said, yeah, sure, I'll be there. So, all right, fine. So Tommy and I go, and we pull into McDonald's about 11:15, sure enough. Said, hey, I'm the guy that called earlier. I want to order 75 sausage biscuits. And and she said, okay, yeah, sure. She put it in, printed off like a mile-long receipt.
Yes, she did. I had to take a picture of it. I had to move my camera so far back to get it all to fit. I have no idea if Beverly's going to actually be able to read the receipt when I turn it in.
She probably won't be.
No.
But anyway, so we're like, hey, while we're there, we're at McDonald's at 11, you know, something o'clock at night after a long day, you know, let's get a quick bite to eat and a drink, you know. Well, their drink machine was broken, and apparently they didn't even have water, because I just wanted a cup of water, and she looked at me, she's like, no, we don't even have that. So I'm not sure how they were cooking anything if they didn't have water, but
I didn't understand that whole process, Tyler, because the weirdest thing about it was she was like, yeah, the carbonation stuff is out.
Right.
And so we were like, all right, well, no soda. Well, then you asked for water, and she was like, milk or juice?
We only have milk.
It wasn't milk.
Chocolate or regular milk.
Chocolate or regular milk. That's what it was. We have chocolate or regular milk. And I was like, but you don't have water?
Maybe it was like that specific drink machine she was talking about. The one that they get water from.
Like it could have been the pump or something was broken.
Maybe, yeah. But then at the same time, like another lady walks in and is like, do y'all have sweet tea? Like you don't need carbonation to have sweet tea.
Or coffee.
Right, or coffee. Yeah, and no coffee, no sweet tea, no water, no sodas. I understand that. Only white milk or chocolate milk.
So that was it. Fast forward to the next morning, I go to pick these biscuits up, and their lobby opens at 6 a.m. It's 7 a.m.
Right.
Right, and I pull in the door, and the door's locked. So I try to, like, wave through the door, and there's nobody there. Then they're not, at least they're not paying attention to me. And so I'm like, okay, get in the drive-thru. And I said, hey, I ordered 75 sausage biscuits last night. And the person on the mic goes, oh, Hold on one second. And I hear her kind of like yelling at a manager in the background, like, can y'all come here? There's this dude that ordered 75 sausage biscuits. And they figure it out. So they say, well, come on in. And they unlock the door. So I walk in. And anyway, and I order coffee. And so they had coffee.
Yeah.
Saturday morning. I'm like, I don't know what changed between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Like, did y'all have some guy come in and fix the drink machine overnight? Like, I kind
of
doubt
Which
that.
Which coffee doesn't come out of their drink machine. Correct. That's the thing.
So
like,
I don't
they
know.
Brew it.
Part of me thinks that maybe the night shift just wasn't on top of it. But we all got it good.
Yeah, and you got the best end of the deal. Because the lady, he was like, hey, can I have a McFlurry or whatever?
That's true. That night.
And so the lady brings him a McFlurry and was like, sorry we don't have any soda. This is on the house. It
no
gives
way.
Him a free McFlurry.
I did it. Yeah, I got a McFlurry on the house, and that was the second time in 3 days that I got an item on the house, because I took one of our students to Mama's Boy on Friday, and I was there, and I beat him to the meeting as I normally do, because I like to get places early and all that kind of stuff. And so while I was waiting on him, I asked for a cup of coffee. And when I go to pay, the guy at the register said, no, don't worry about the coffee, it's on the house. And so
nice.
I was like, oh man, I said, I'm not paying for this anyway, but nice. I appreciate that. So save the GBMB some money.
Tommy, I do have a funny story that I don't think you've heard about yet.
Oh boy.
Because this was during, it's what made me think of it, this was during y'all's McDonald's run that night. So you know how like we got back at the church before anybody else so that I could go ahead and get in the shower?
Yeah, like we dropped y'all off.
Yes, you dropped me and Kylie off. Okay. Well, here's the thing with the room that Kylie and I were staying in. It's the nursery room, one of the nurseries of this church. And the doors have locks on both of them, like on the door specifically. Did you hear this, Bob?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you can't open them from the outside. You can only open them from the inside if the door's shut. Mm-hmm. And so we've been making sure not to shut the door.
Right.
Well, we left first that morning, and whoever else is staying in our room, they shut the door. So I'm trying to get in the shower, because I made that mistake last year. I was trying to be a good servant leader, and I let everyone take, no, you can have first shower.
Right.
I decided I was never making that mistake ever again, right?
Good decision.
I need to sleep. That's how I lead best when I'm asleep, right?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so I'm trying to get in the shower. I go to my room to get stuff, and both of these doors are locked. I'm calling Melanie. I'm trying to figure out what this code is, because it's like a padlock.
Yeah, yes.
Like, you cannot get in. The code to the, church isn't working.
Right.
I don't even know if I should say this on recording, but maybe no one from Cornerstone Bible will listen to our podcast. But I call Melanie, and she said, is anyone there that can pick the lock? And I just happened to yell out, some guys got there, and I'm still trying to hurry to get in the shower before these girls, all the girls get there. So some of the guys got there, and I said, quick, can anyone pick a lock? And Court said, let me see the lock. So he goes over to the doors, and one of them, the angle is doesn't work.
Right.
But the other one, he's like, I think I can, let me go grab one of my debit cards or something. So he went and he grabbed a debit card.
So he broke into the door.
He broke into the church's nursery so that I could take a shower.
That was very gentlemanly of him, but also very, criminal of him.
So how do you feel that one of our leaders
knows how to break into doors?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a good trait to have.
And
every
it was
once
like,
in a while.
It came very natural. He was oh, here you go,
just
got it.
I mean, that's, I guess it's better than the other option. You know, last year on our spring break trip to Guatemala, four stories high, John Walker, who was with us from Beach Haven, climbed around a window from ledge to ledge to get in a building.
He
so it could have been worse.
His way through that.
He did. And then, you know, we had lots of issues with locks Saturday night, apparently.
Yeah, with the shower
because
trailer.
Because we also, if you're with Disaster Relief and we used your shower trailer, don't worry. We didn't break it. But we thought we did for a minute because the guy's shower door locked and wouldn't open. Mm-hmm. And we had to finagle it, and it took us, a good 45 minutes probably to get that thing where it would open. And I was scared to death we were going to break it. I was also worried about what do we do if we don't get it open, because we have one side, and it's supposed to be the girl's
side. Yeah.
And I was trying to think in my head how we could get these guys showers, because truth is, the guys probably really needed showers worse than the girls needed showers. with everything that went on Saturday.
It's so true. I will say that I was actually in the shower when y'all were trying to figure this out. And the shower trailers are paper thin walls.
Right.
I could hear everything that y'all were saying. And because I was on the side that's like connected to the boys.
Yeah,
and I could hear everything. And listen, I was just thankful that it was the guys' shower that was locked and not the girls'. I was just happy.
We had people sticking their head through the little window. We had figured out how to open the window. Like, I don't even know how we opened it, honestly.
You're the one who fixed it, Tommy.
Right? Yeah, but I mean, I had a key, and I was wiggling the key, and then who was in the window messing with the other side?
Probably Court.
Maybe Court. I don't remember.
Court. It all comes down to Court.
Yeah. So we fixed it. So everybody got showers. Everybody got biscuits that needed one.
If you're listening to this and you weren't at Confluence and you have no idea what a shower trailer is, you're really just missing out on the luxury experience, really truly a spa day experience, I would say.
I'll be honest with you, those are pretty good shower trailers. I experienced doing a shower trailer on a mission trip one time before, and it was our Georgia disaster relief shower trailers are much better than South Carolina disaster relief shower trailers. That's all I'm saying. Because that South Carolina disaster relief shower trailer I used, basically it was a spigot in the top of a wall. And it just shot, like, you had to run around to, like, get rinsed off. You know what I'm talking about? There's just, like, one line of water, and you're like, I don't know what to do. It was freezing cold. My showers were hot the whole weekend.
Not mine. Mine was cold, and was the water really? Pressure was okay. Terrible.
Well, you probably got in there when we had to retrip or like fix the breaker at
I
the church
so.
Probably so
but yeah, if you're really missing out, you should come to Confluence with us next year so you can really get the full experience.
Absolutely. All right so last thing, and then we're going to call it a day. What's the one thing you're looking forward to the most moving forward over the rest of the semester?
Well, I get to preach on November 10th, so I'm looking forward to that.
And you're not preaching on hell.
That's true. I'm preaching on money.
Yeah,
which is kind of my degree, so that'll be fun.
We really gave you the best topics, I think, this semester.
You did.
To preach
on. I've actually already talked to three people in my classes that say they're going to come on that night because I told them I was, like, talking about, like, money and finances
and
stuff.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm pumped. I hope that they follow through on that promise. But outside of that, I think I really am very excited to see the leadership applications start rolling in and just see what the Lord moves and always learn so much about students as they go through that process and tell us, you know, a written version of their testimony. They can think about that a little bit more and process maybe some precise language. And then how they would respond to certain situations that they might encounter in a, you know, campus ministry context. You learn quite a bit about where students' hearts are. And honestly, it ends up being a really encouraging thing.
It does. I think one of the cool things about doing collegiate ministry is because of, like, our process for applications for Send Me Now, for our spring break stuff, now that we've got so many students wanting to go, through our leadership process, there's such a discipleship component. You guys have heard me say this before. I've always leaned towards discipleship is something that happens as you do life together, and as those conversations come up, and as you do ministry together in particular, and just different scenarios and situations and how to navigate those. Carson had two of those situations this week where she was dealing with students that had health things going on, right? And so those are learning experiences. And so whether it be through learning experiences on how to deal with certain situations and so forth, or whether it be through you're filling out an application and we're seeing that through the process of that there's a conversation that we need to have to dive deeper into. And so that's what I really love about kind of the leadership process with the BCM and even some of the stuff with Send Me Now and so forth. There's such an opportunity to just do, like, life-on-life discipleship. The fact that Carson and I got to meet with a student yesterday who's praying about being a campus missionary and trying to figure out whether she wants to be here or at a different campus, and just getting to talk with her through the conversations of, like, how she got to this place and her having to kind of navigate a lot of different dynamics on what'll be the best role. Tyler, me and you, literally, the other day, talking about kind of what comes next for you with your position, like, in the finance world and, you know, potentially preaching some and all those things. Like, those are really fun conversations to have. And I think that's what I look forward to the most through this leadership process. Exactly as you said, Tyler. Carson, what do you got to look forward to?
Yeah, besides the leadership, because I completely agree with what y'all said. I'm really excited about those applications and just getting to be a part. I think it's a privilege to get to be a part of the conversation of choosing the next BCM's leadership and discipling them through that. So that's always really exciting. In terms of some of our just scheduled stuff, like we have a worship night coming up in a couple weeks that mm-hmm. I'm just really excited about because some of our smaller churches are coming together. And I've just kind of been behind the scenes, like watching this process come along for this night. And it's really encouraging, especially with the response and worship we got from Confluence. We had a really mm-hmm. awesome worship at BCM this past Monday, like specifically, worship in general has been something on my heart recently, but I think on the hearts of our students as well. They've really been responding well, and that's really important as like a heart posture, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of our scheduled events, the worship night, I'm excited for Friendsgiving mm-hmm. is also really
that's
fun.
That's right.
BCM Friendsgiving, that's just a sweet time. A lot of new students come to that, get a free meal. That's really sweet. The missions banquet, the spring semester, we have a lot of things coming up.
Don't forget one of the most important things we have coming up where we get to hear from one of our alumni. Well, y'all have coming up.
Yes.
Well, we actually get to hear, this is cool, our men's and women's ministry events, we get to hear, both of us get to, guys and girls,
yeah.
get to hear from alumni.
It's true.
Yeah.
We have amazing alumni lined up for Redefined and Summit, which is our men's and women's events. I've been in contact with our female speaker. We've announced it at BCM.
Yeah, you can say.
Audrey Kittila, AKA Miss Georgia, AKA third runner up.
Yes.
For Miss America. So I've been in contact with her. She's really excited. She was telling me the other day, she's really honored that we would have her to come speak. And I'm like, I'm honored that you want to come speak, you know, I'm going to be fangirling. I'm sure she'll wear her crown. That's what I'm most excited about, actually.
That crown. Is funny. You just created like a moment of funniness and didn't even mean to.
Wow.
You're most excited about her crown.
I'm excited about Audrey's crown, yeah.
Okay, that's Audrey, I hope you hear this. Now you know. Carson just wants to see your crown. That's
anyways,
what it is.
Anyways, we have a lot of
we got
stuff
Nick
on
Jones.
Calendar.
We got Nick Jones, yes. former BCM alum.
Now
did the apprenticeship at Print. Now he's serving as college guy at Five Points. Yes,
yep.
Thank you. I was getting it out. And so he's going to speak
amazing.
To the guys. Yeah, so we're pumped. We're excited.
We have lots of stuff on the calendar, and it's going to be fun.
Absolutely. So. I think that's all we got. To this weekend's a big weekend. Did you cut me off?
Nope, you're still going.
Okay, you touched the phone. I got scared. This weekend's a big weekend, Georgia, Alabama. What I can promise the BCM is that regardless of what happens, I will not make a single statement on Monday night. And that's all I can promise.
I don't believe you.
No, I promise you that will be the case, regardless one way or the other. And I'm going to the game Saturday, and I'm wearing neutral, believe it or not.
I'm wearing neutral.
I'm being all things to all people. And so in the meantime, I am looking forward to watching that game, though. So it should be a good Saturday, one way or the other. I don't know how that works.
Boy, oh boy.
We'll see. So, hey, go root for the Dogs this weekend. And I'll let Carson and Tyler say go Dogs at the end of this because that's what they do every week. What's what usually I do, but they can do it this week.
Right.
And then we'll see you Monday.
That's a bit of an affront to your fandom if we make you say go Dogs. So we won't do it to you.
Just only for today.
As I'm looking at your elephant bobblehead.
Look, we gotta
right
shut
now.
This down. We gotta shut this down. Some alumni may hear this. They may like cut their donations to the ministry. Like, we're shutting this down. Y'all are saying go Dogs. I'm wearing neutral. No words on Monday. That's it. That's all we got. So
I agree.
All right, ready?
Go Dogs.
Let's go.